Oh, they didn't see they put a barricade there on the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Put a barricade in front of the Supreme Court.
They're just shitty little fucking like construction fences, basically.
Can somebody explain to me why a bunch of like 99-year-old fucking people who can only dress in robes because they can't dress themselves, like why they're allowed to be like the god elder ancient council that decides how we all live? I don't get it.
You see, you understand, the United States has several distinct branches of government, okay? You have the legislative branch, everyone understands what they do, they legislate, they write the laws. Then you have the executive branch, basically no one understands what they do, they execute things. And then you have the judiciary. Now, this is the most important one. These are the ones that exist so that if the other two branches start acting in a way that the bourgeois don't like, they can have this group, the judiciary, come in and say, like, hey, you don't have rights anymore, or something like that.
And what is this called? The judiciary? What?
Yeah, you know?
that sounds fishy to me.
They're putting secret messages in there.
The founders were big fans of Judge Dredd, and they were like, how can we incorporate a judge into our system? But, like, way more boring, no guns, doesn't blow anyone's head off or anything. Just kind of, they sit and they wear robes and hang out and say stupid shit.
I like that. I would love to do that. You see, when we lead the revolution, that's going to be my job. I'm going to be like the supreme judge of right and wrong, judge, jury, and executioner. Emphasis on executioner. A lot of people are going to die.
See,
I think the expression is actually Judge Judy and executioner, Todd. It's not a misconception.
Judge Judy and executioner.
It's based on the show Judge Judy.
Episode title. That's a very
Bailiff,
good episode.
Wackest peepee. Oh man. Yeah, no, I've always thought that having people who are like actually presiding over like really important rulings and over how to interpret the law wear really fancy clothes was like insane. Like I would be so much more comforted if all of the Supreme Court justices showed up to work every day in like ripped jeans and a Metallica t-shirt. And it was just like, I want to live in a society where when you see somebody with like perfectly done hair wearing an elaborate robe that obviously like took time to put on and has to be ironed, you know that that means they're actually not going to be working on anything for a while. This is their leisure time.
So what is this? They made abortion illegal again or something?
Yeah. There was a leaked there was a leaked draft from the Supreme Court that got around on Twitter, and John Roberts, Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, confirmed the authenticity of the draft opinion that would overturn the abortion rights enshrined by Roe versus Wade. He also noted, as he confirmed that it was in fact authentic, that the draft ruling does not represent the court's final decision, which is an insane thing to say because it's like, why would you even have the draft if this wasn't what you were working for? Yada, yada, yada. And then he also directed the marshal of the court to launch an investigation into the source of the leak. So they're definitely going to go after whoever gave this out to the public. But it's really, really troublesome because basically, if this draft is anything like the official ruling that we eventually see, and it assuredly will be, this essentially means that the Supreme Court is going to leave it up to the states whether abortion is legal in their state or not. And considering that a lot of states, particularly in the Southeast and Midwest, have already tried to get around Roe versus Wade and figure out ways to outlaw or make somewhat illegal the practice of abortion, I can only understand that this will mean that about half the country will have made abortion illegal pretty shortly after this ruling comes down.
Isn't it already really hard to get abortions in those states too?
Yeah, there's a lot of them, yeah, where they have just like one clinic in the whole state. So it's like, it's basically de facto illegal if you're poor. Like if it's like, if a long bus ride and like multiple days off work would be like outside of your reach currently, then you basically can't get an abortion.
Well, what you're going to see is like, if it's states, it's just going to be people going to other states to, but yeah, it's like, if you can't go to another state to get an abortion, like then I guess you can't do it, or you're going to do like a back alley abortion. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like that's typically what the counter argument to like people who say just go to another state, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is definitely going to make abortions less safe. because people will probably turn to less reliable methods. People will try to do, I mean, I couldn't tell you offhand what people will try to do, but anything besides an abortion performed by a licensed and certified physician in a sanitary medical environment is not safe. Anything besides that is not safe. You know,
women are going to drink an entire case of Mountain Dew Code Red in an attempt to flush the baby out.
Yeah. They're going to drink that new spicy one, the spicy Mountain Dew. No baby could withstand that.
Spicy Mountain Dew?
Yeah, there's Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew.
They made Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew.
I got a can of it, and I haven't had the wherewithal to open it and actually try it yet. People on the internet,
Flamin' Hot.
People on the internet have said it's not actually very spicy. It's just like really gingery, which I guess is like,
I like
to
that.
A white person that's hot.
Uh-huh. I heard the same thing. It's like not very spicy.
I like kombucha. With ginger.
Ginger flavor is good. So if they just market it as like ginger Mountain Dew instead of Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, I feel like people would be more on board.
Mountain Dew kombucha. Oh my God. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That's a $1 trillion idea.
Yeah. I posted this on Twitter to mixed fanfare a couple of days ago, but I was thinking to myself, what if we pronounced Mountain Dew like Nintendo? So you say like Mountain Dew.
Yeah. I saw that on Facebook. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, Mountain Dew. I would do that. Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Yeah, Mountain Dew.
Can I have a glass of your finest aged Mountain Dew, monsieur?
Oh, no Mountain Dew? I'll take a Coca-Cola.
Remember that? A Dur Pepper.
No, that was just like a way to pronounce Dr. Pepper.
Mer-pib.
Yeah.
I love Pepper. Mr. Pibb.
Yeah.
You guys remember that video a while back where the guy was like, I tried this one chili, it set my mouth on fire, and I had to drink a 2-liter Mountain Dew.
That guy's that a guy. Legend.
Well,
now Mountain Dew is they're fucking that guy over, because if he set his mouth on fire and he drank a 2-liter of Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, his mouth would be more on fire.
Exactly.
It wouldn't help. Vicious cycle.
Exactly.
It's incredibly negligent on the part of the Pepsi Cola company.
Well, they weren't being negligent when they tried to put up barricades around the Supreme Court. I don't know if that transition makes any sense.
Yes, it does, because they were preparing for a crowd of angry women that I guess didn't come. I don't know.
that's what's crazy about the photo that's on Twitter here from Cami Mondo, where it says right now barricades are up around the Supreme Court building just minutes after reports from Politico were leaked indicating SCOTUS has voted to overturn Roe v. Wade. And then the photo is barricades around the building, but they're only a little over waist high, and there is nobody in the shot. Like, nobody is here. You can just see the shadow of the person taking the photo. And it's like, this is crazy because, like, to me, I feel like they're preparing for something, like a big run on the Supreme Court that should happen.
Inshallah.
Like, absolutely, we should do that.
Liberals were all upset when protesters broke down the barricades in front of the Capitol on January 6th. But now they want to do it to the Supreme Court because it's their thing.
Yeah, well, everybody's been talking about, like, oh, what are we going to do about this? Oh, you know, trying to figure out why this happened. They're like, oh, if the Bernie bros hadn't split off the vote from Hillary, Trump wouldn't have won. And we're like relitigating the
20. Yeah, no, I specifically did everything I could to prevent Hillary Clinton from getting elected because I specifically wanted this to happen. This is on purpose, and I planned all of this, including COVID.
It's me, the anti-abortion Bernie
bro.
That's
right. I was eating like, I made a pangolin smoothie.
Every day.
In a blender.
Also, we have a Democratic president right now. If Hillary, like, what? He can't do anything about it. Like, what's the point of voting for Hillary if she couldn't have done anything about it either?
Well, because it was all about like which justices get appointed, and so
did Biden get his new justice on the Supreme Court yet?
I think so.
Wasn't she supposed to do something about this?
Yeah, but here's the thing is that no, she wasn't supposed to do something about this. She was deliberately picked to be the kind of like centrist, basically a conservative Democrat who would capitulate to people like Brett Kavanaugh. And that's exactly what's fucking happened.
I thought she was picked because she was light on child porn cases, so that when if the Epstein shit ever goes to the Supreme Court, that's their out. You know?
I mean, that could also be a contributing factor. I'm pretty sure they don't pick Supreme Court nominees for one reason at a time.
That's right. It's on a rookie card.
Yeah, that's right. There's a seniority basis. Everybody's been talking about, like, oh, you know, Joe Biden is the president. We have a Democrat president. Isn't there anything that he can do about it? And it's like, one, having a Democrat president doesn't fucking mean anything. And two, if you look at the history of Joe Biden's stances on abortions, they've been pretty closely in line with, I don't know, the Catholic Church. So he voted against a 1977 compromise that allowed Medicaid to fund abortion that included exceptions for victims of rape and incest, and then again in 1981 voted the same way, which was the most far-reaching ban on federal funds ever enacted by
Congress. Well, maybe he just didn't read the bill right. Maybe he thought it was abortion is awfully good. Yeah. Maybe it was like one of those situations where he didn't quite understand the text of the bill. You got to give Joe Biden the benefit of the doubt. Well, because there's no way that he could be evil.
Joe Biden's
right?
been
He's
trying
a
to
nice
give him
man.
Joe Biden's been trying to give himself the benefit of the doubt for a long time now. Apparently, in a 2007 book he wrote called Promises to Keep. I don't know why you would want to read a 2007 book from Joe Biden. But he described himself his beliefs and voting record on abortion as, quote, middle of the road.
Joe Biden in 2007 writing, I promise that the subprime mortgage market will just keep going up. That's a Joe Biden promise.
That one's also middle of the road. Just keeps on trucking.
Yep. I'm not sure what my deal is either, so I just sort of keep on trucking. He wrote in the same book that he thinks he doesn't have a, quote, right to impose my view on the rest of society, which is an interesting way of saying, I am against abortion, but I am also a Democrat politician who feels like he has to compromise on what my stance is, even though they're going to let me continue to like vote against it in every capacity. And then Joe Biden came out and basically said, I'm not going to do anything. We have a tweet here from Kyle Griffin, says, new from President Biden, quote, if the court does overturn Roe, it will fall on our nation's elected officials at all levels of government to protect a woman's right to choose, and it will fall on voters to elect pro-choice officials this November. Motherfucker, nation's elected officials at all levels of government, that's you.
So he's,
That's literally you.
Like,
elected officials at all levels of government. That includes you, you fucking slacker ass school board members. You were elected.
Yeah. And then we have the top reply tweet to that, which is just like the Simpsons meme where they're like, say the line, Dems. This is the most important election of our lifetime.
Democrats are probably so excited about this. It wouldn't surprise me if they orchestrated the leak so they can send emails for the next like 6 months
100%.
That are like, Chris, we need your help. They're gonna make abortion illegal everywhere unless you give me $500 right now. That's all that's standing in our way is $500 from you.
I mean, this is just so fucking worrisome because it's like, you know, this is one of the biggest like touchstone rights. Like when people talk about establishing rights, like abortion rights are one of the big ones. And if this is something that they're willing to repeal, like they're just going to start taking away not even like civil liberties, but like rights of bodily autonomy from people. This is just like declining empire syndrome. Yeah. Basically, it's like we have brushed up against so many failures now that the only way for like the whole charade of like liberals versus conservatives, which is hilarious, to keep going is to continue to say like, oh, well now we're going to rehash Roe versus Wade. And it's like, no motherfucker, Roe versus Wade is supposed to be done and dusted. It's supposed to be settled history. This isn't the kind of fucking thing that you go back on.
I say we go back and check out all the amendments, make sure those are all, We should make sure those are constitutional.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, it might need a little dusting up, like free speech. I don't know, bare arms. Yeah, maybe we could curtail that one a little bit.
I mean, the right to bodily autonomy is actually fascist. I don't know if you realize this, but
yeah,
to have
that's what
control
the body
over your own
means.
Body, that's fascist.
You know who actually sponsors Planned Parenthood? A little Vladimir named Putin.
Oh,
a little Vladimir.
Yeah.
And everyone getting an abortion is somehow supporting Russia. I mean, like, that's really the level of like political takes that we're on right now. I'm seeing a lot of people try to hash this out on Twitter, and they're like, oh, we're gonna fight this all the way down, we're gonna appeal it, we're gonna mobilize and vote for more Democrats. And I'm like, none of that shit has ever fucking worked ever. So
the Democrats have had like many chances. Obama was president for 8 years and they had a super majority. Biden's president right now. They've controlled the state, the House and the Senate many times. Never during that time did they even make an attempt to like pass a law that legalized abortion
or reinforced the rights that we have already, or oh my god, expanded them.
They needed something to run on for the next fucking election.
That's true.
You got to stop voting for Democrats. All right, you got to stop expecting like that. You got to stop with this. Like, I'm not talking to you guys, I'm just talking about people in general. You got to stop falling for this shit. They do it every single time. It's the most important election of our lifetime. Then they don't do anything. Then the next one's the most important. Fuck you. Come on.
Look here, bud. Look here. I got a little common sense political advice for you, okay? You go to the right side. You see the conservatives. They say, I'm a racist. Are you a racist, too? You can vote for me. And you shy away from that. You're like, I don't think I'm a racist. So then you go over to what you think is the left side, and the Democrats are over here, and they're like, this is the most important election of our lifetimes. You got to vote for us if you want to enshrine your rights in law. And you try that a few times, and it starts to leave a sour taste in your mouth. Guess what, buddy? There's only a couple of options left, and the big red one with the big yellow hammer and sickle is where you're going to want to go. you say, give me a hot dog with everything on it.
The word up
hot and fresh.
All my rights. I want fucking economic rights. I want healthcare rights. I want housing rights. Put it all on the damn hot dog.
That's right.
That's what you say.
That's right. And the price of that hot dog is you have to all get together and overthrow the government. Like, that's the only way to do this. Instead,
it's
we're going to constantly.
And priceless.
Costco has pretty good deals on
that's
this.
That's true. Costco.
Yeah, if you just want a hot dog, you know.
Do I want my rights or a 48-pack of hot dogs?
Yeah, no, that's the problem with Costco. I was thinking, like, what if you made like a co-op where it was a bunch of people that shared a Costco card, and you split up the large quantity things between people, right? So, like, you know, you just save money that way.
It's like a consumer's co-op. You walk in and you're like, okay. You know, I contributed my $1.50 to the $55 Costco card. So let me get one loose hot dog, please.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be 60 cents.
And if you raise the price, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. No, that's like everybody's been talking about the Arizona green tea guy because he put out a press statement recently where he's like, I'm not raising the price of a can of Arizona green tea because consumers don't need to be squeezed by guys like me any more than they already are. And like, one, okay, that's a good thing. I appreciate that, bud. I like Arizona. Two, you're still a business owner. You're still a piece of shit. But three, this really highlights the fact that like these prices don't need to go up at all, ever.
No, not at all.
Every single business could just say, look, An Oscar Mayer Lunchable is just $1.50 from now until the end of time. And then it could just be $1.50 from now until the end of time.
Yeah. It's not like these are products made with like such integrity that they're like they're going to run out of money if they don't charge you more.
Like, yeah, but it crackers seems and like lunch meat. The U.S. regime just keeps making decisions to facilitate the constant like inflation of the currency. The like supply chain fucking up. It just seems like they're trying on purpose to fuck things up, right? Because like I again, I think it's another thing for them to run on. They're like, look at how shitty things are going. You got to vote for us and we'll fix it. It's like they're shitty because of things you did.
Yeah. Well, it's like you have the ads from the Republicans who are like, Democrats are teaching children Marxist race theory in schools. And then you have ads from the Democrats that are like, Republicans are stopping the Democrats' efforts at every turn. And I am like sitting here in front of my TV like, neither of those things are true.
Both of you guys are just doing nothing. You're just sitting around posting.
Yeah, sitting around on your hands complaining that your hands fell asleep.
Did you guys know, I was just looking up that quote you were saying, John, about the Arizona green tea, that since March 9th of this year in the LA metro area, a gallon of Arizona iced tea has been cheaper than a gallon of gasoline.
Wow. Dude.
They have a helpful little graph where
if
you got...
If only we could make a vehicle that ran on that.
When are we going to peg the dollar to the Arizona green tea standard?
Speaking of a vehicle that runs on beverages rather than fossil fuels.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Fuck yeah. Swish.
I was arrested recently.
Oh, no.
And charged with a DUI. For... no, I'm just kidding. But somebody was arrested and charged with a DUI in Atlanta for crashing a quote unquote pedal pub.
I feel bad for laughing because people did get seriously injured.
Really? How seriously? Holy shit. Critical condition.
Yeah, they got fucked up. There's, you can see video of it crashing. I mean, it looks
really
bad.
I
want to
watch this.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see if I can find it.
Oh yeah, they don't actually include the crash video in the video connected to the article.
You'd think they would have airbags on that thing.
Yeah, it's not really very protected. Like, it's going down the road, but it's just kind of like a streetcar with no windows or like protection or anything.
Yeah.
On
So to recap this real quick for the viewer, we're talking about one of those pedal pub things. So this is like a bar cart that you can ride like a bicycle.
They're so
if you're
sick.
15 people,
I love it.
Everybody supposedly except the driver is drinking, and then the driver is often giving you a tour of the city that you're in, and they're like hugely obnoxious. They're always in the bike lane, which they're not supposed to be. They cause a ton of congestion in already crowded downtowns and are just generally like a shitty yuppification business that always jumps in right after your town just scored a contract with like Uber or Lyft or something.
This is what the fucking Supreme Court should be deciding. What
right.
type of vehicle is allowed in the bike lane? Is it that it's a bike, like a bi-wheeled vehicle? So like you could ride like a motorcycle in the bike lane?
Mm-hmm.
Is it that it's powered by pedals? What defines a bike? All
right.
Does
right.
Is it a bike at the moment of conception? Is it
second there's two
when
wheels?
Does the bike have a heartbeat?
Let me just tell you this. When I'm on my bike in the bike lane and I see some asshole on a bird scooter, I tip him over every time.
Yes.
I just tip his ass over. No, I don't. But the people on this fucking pedal pub did tip over. It says a total of 15 people were injured on the party bike ride. The police said a pedal pub with multiple passengers was trying to turn, but they were going too fast and turned over.
Do they have signals?
I don't know, but it seems to me like this was literally just a momentum issue. Like they were going around the corner.
Heavy.
Yeah. And then they had too much centrifugal force and just tipped over.
Yeah. Doesn't seem very
it seems like
designed.
A design issue. Why wouldn't they build the undercarriage so that the weight of the liquid beer? Oh shit. You know what? Then that introduces a interesting physics problem because even if you designed it, with the keg low to the ground to lower the center of mass, then as the keg gets poured and people drink more, that weight of fluid moves upwards, moving the center of gravity of the pedal pub upwards, causing it to roll over like a motherfucking first generation Ford Explorer.
Yep. Not to mention, if the keg is empty or full, this doesn't happen. But when it's around half empty, it sloshes. And so you have all of this erratic residual movement that the driver is going to have to fight against and try to account for in real time. But fluid dynamics, you know, they're one of the hardest things to model. Famously difficult to predict fluid dynamics. So
wait, so maybe this is like a cover up from big physics, or like, you know, the designers of this thing, the engineers who built the pedal pub shoddily are just throwing this guy under the bus, or I guess under the streetcar.
I like think that you may see a lawsuit against the builders of the pedal pub for this. I would
I think you probably should. I think a dozen drunk people shouldn't be able to pedal your thing fast enough for it to pose a danger to them.
Well, wait a
second.
That's
a good point. Yeah. It's only human powered, right? Like it's just powered by pedaling. And
there's 15 people. Like how many, I'm Googling this, how many humans does it take to make one horsepower?
Oh yeah. Right?
Okay, yeah, so this thing's running on 15 drunkard powers, but that's only 2.5 horsepower.
Okay, one horsepower is a unit of power that equals the work done in lifting 550 pounds 1 foot in 1 second. One man power, a unit of power based on the rate at which a man can work. approximately 75 watts, 1/10 of a horsepower. So this vehicle had about 1.5 horsepower.
Wow. It's not that much, but I guess enough to like get scooting too fast if you're going around a corner.
And if you have like round wooden wheels with rubber on the outside instead of like an inflated rubber wheel on a real flat.
Is that
like,
what it had?
Oh, no. Okay. They are regular rubber tires, but they're like very small. And the whole thing has like a lot of signage and it has a cute little roof. And like you can tell there's so much weight. Like the center of gravity on this thing is so high.
Does it have suspension?
It doesn't really look like there's suspension. It looks like it's basically a glorified like trailer.
Well, I mean, I suppose that there probably were accidents like this all the time, like 100, 200 years ago. Like, weren't they pedaling these things all the way out the Oregon Trail?
Yeah, the pioneers used to ride these babies for miles.
Nothing but a beer and a dream.
Manifest Destiny is manifesting your destiny to die in a horrific fender bender involving a pedal-powered bar tending establishment.
Yeah, so I guess 3 people were seriously injured and 10 people sustained minor injuries, which is just like, man, it's got to suck to be in the hospital. And they're like,
looking,
how did you end up in here? And you're like, I cracked a rib on a pedal pub when I unexpectedly went ass over tea kettle.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the vehicle itself, and it doesn't appear to have any sort of suspension. Like, it looks like it might have like, I don't see any sort of leaf springs or like shocks or anything. It looks like it's just like the wheels are basically just bolted to the frame. That's got to be, going fast enough, that's got to be a shitty, bumpy ride.
Yeah, I feel like it reminds me the most of like some kind of ride at like an amusement park, you know, like the train ride for kids, except that's on a track and then is like pulled along a very planned out route. This is just like some fucking, I don't even know what kind of wheel is it. It looks like the wheels on like a trailer or something.
Yeah.
Just attached to a ride made
that
of
raises an interesting
like hollow
point,
pipes.
Can you imagine instead of a pedal pub, a rail pub, right? It's just a train that you get to drink on.
That's so much nicer. Imagine like riding a train through a scenic part of your city and drinking, and the train doesn't crash because the driver tries to go around a corner too fast because it's on tracks.
Well,
it'd work a lot better.
The automotive industry killed the possibility of that happening when they killed all of the light rail systems in the United States like 100 years ago. Like every city had a trolley system at some point. So it stands to reason that in an alternate timeline where the automotive industry didn't kill light rail in the United States, that somebody at some point in the last 100 years decided to do a business idea where they rent like right of passage on the light rail system from the municipality, but in their specific trolley, there's bar service. Just riding around your city on rails, having a fucking beer.
I would love it. And maybe
and that isn't in a paper bag.
We could have those, you know, those like 2-man pumping rail cars where the one guy stands on the one side.
Yeah.
And you pump back and forth. But as you pump, you're also pressurizing the keg.
Oh,
right?
And
you
can hell yeah.
Yes. Fill up a glass.
That's perfect. Yeah. It's like, it's a motorized cart. The pumping is just for the keg.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just a button under your foot that makes it go.
Yeah.
I think the conclusion we're drawing is that any form of public transportation where you can, that you can drink on would be better than one of these things. Like a double decker bus that you can drink on, a streetcar you can drink on, a light rail, a subway you can drink on. I think the only thing worse would be a bang bus. That'd be great. Yeah. I think it would have been worse if it was one of those like horrifying Tesla death traps that's just like a tube with Christmas lights and you're in your Tesla with like 3 other people drinking a beer. And that seems worse than this.
I mean, I'll just say, I think despite the fact that this guy was issued a DUI, I would prefer to have drunk pub cart drivers on the streets than self-guided Teslas. 100 million percent.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Because at least when your pub cart tips over, like, a lot of people are going to fall and like hit their head, hit their chest, you know, hurt their arm, whatever. But like when a Tesla bumps into a curb, it explodes.
Yeah. You know, you got to really weigh the pros and cons of each situation.
I mean, most cars, you know, your axle goes an inch out of alignment, you're fine. You wobbles a little bit above a certain speed, you take it to the mechanic, you get an alignment done, you're good. A Tesla's front wheels go an inch out of alignment, it explodes. So
yeah, you lose pressure in your back tire, it explodes.
That's right.
You reply to Elon from the inbuilt computer making fun of him. Believe it or not, the Tesla explodes.
Yep. If any lights come on, it explodes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
check engine,
of
the overheads.
it's a safety measure, really. It just explodes so that nothing can go wrong with the engine.
They don't have a check engine light in a Tesla. A video of Elon Musk pops up on your giant iPad 30-inch dashboard screen, and it says that you need to drive it to a Tesla facility or it will auto shut off forever in 48 hours.
I got tired of being babied by all of the indicator lights in my car, so I wired them all to one light that just says get good, and now when my car has any problems, I have to work extra hard to figure out what they are.
Yeah.
Dying in a horrifying fireball in my Tesla, but I get one last chuckle out because the screen just says you die from Dark Souls as the car goes up in flames.
Yeah. Would I take a Tesla or let my enemy have a Tesla? I would let my enemy have a Tesla. That just means I have to hustle that harder to kill myself.
Grind set. That's the grind set.
That's right.
Well, speaking of the grind set, let's talk about somebody who wasn't willing to put the grind down, who wasn't willing to get off the grind.
Look, he, like most of us, accidentally viewed porn while trying to look at tractors. It happens to all of us.
That's the
funniest
story.
Very common mistake.
Because, like, there have been times when I've looked up things and been confronted with adult content that I was not prepared for. It happens. You never know when, like, a seemingly innocent word will turn out to actually be a very popular term for a disgusting sex act. Tractors have never led to this.
I don't know, because, like, you know, you got your tractor, you got your power takeoff, right? You got your excavator, you know, hardly know her, you know.
You got the new Kubota Fister that came out this year. You got the John Deere Rimmer. That's a really popular tractor.
Yeah.
You got the
no. You know what he was probably looking at? He was looking at hoe attachments.
That's right.
And he ended up finding some hoes that were a little too attached, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God.
So what we're talking about, folks, is a man named Neil Parrish, who we have a BBC headline, Neil Parrish MP, Member of Parliament, I'm resigning after porn moment of madness. He was busted for watching porn on his phone while he was in Parliament. He couldn't wait till he went home. And he claims that what was he looking for? He was searching for a Class Dominator tractor at the time, his allies have suggested. So he was just looking up tractor Dominator, and maybe his phone auto-filled in Dominatrix, and then he had a video of a guy, you know, chained to a tractor getting whipped. And
a
then from there, he
Dominatrix.
Like, he followed through to other links, and then he was just watching porn at work, and he didn't hold the phone close enough to his face, so someone saw over his shoulder and was like, why the fuck are you watching porn?
And then they had to bonk him with the parliamentary ceremonial horny club.
The horny
they don't
scepter.
Like to bring it out very
scepter,
often.
Yes, as is tradition.
As was the fashion at the time. But he said that, quote, the situation was that I, funnily enough, it was tractors I was looking at. And so I did get into another website that has a very similar name and watched it for a bit, which I shouldn't have done. And then Mr. Parrish added that his, quote, biggest crime was he, quote, went in a second time to view the website.
Me going back for more tractor porn.
So he has like a very flimsy out, which is like, I looked something up. It was accidentally porn. I clicked the website and let it play when I shouldn't have. And then he's like, and then I just went back again because I liked what I saw or something. Like, what's the excuse the second time?
I'd like to imagine that that he was caught because he didn't turn the volume down and it just started playing.
Oh, it's
alone
like
in Parliament on Friday night again, looking at porn.
Yeah. we have people in powdered wigs in your area. get messages from horny barristers today.
Horny legislators in your area.
You won't last 5 seconds legislating this nation.
and he didn't, because he's since been removed from his post in Parliament.
He did have to be removed
come
from his
post. Come legislate, my lord.
I think like we used to have funny scandals like this in U.S. government. Like what was the when was the last time we had a funny like sex or porn related scandal with like a congressperson? Right, I feel like that used to happen more often.
There was a thing recently where there's a picture of Madison Cawthorn wearing lingerie.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was kind of
yeah,
funny.
But
it's like pretty boilerplate.
I would say in response to your question, Todd, the last really, really big moment we had that was like a scandal, Anthony Weiner. That had
Yeah. Multiple scandals.
One. Yeah.
Like, because remember he like fucked, that was like involved in the election too? Because like when they were investigating his laptop or like, I think they found some emails from him to his wife, Huma, who worked for Hillary, and then that also led to other Hillary emails.
The so universe had, like, the last does second. Like to throw in little Easter eggs like that, like naming the guy who's sending pics of his dick to underage girls from Congress, Wiener.
Mm-hmm. Right. If he's been sending his balls only, it's like, well, we can't punish him because his name's not Anthony Balls.
Yeah, Congressman Balls. The Honorable Nutsack. Congressman from Minnesota, Congressman Balls.
We got a frickin' senator named Mario Taint, and you won't believe what he's under fire for.
Taint under fire. I can see the headlines now. Oh,
man. Taint has like an E at the end. But yeah.
He's like, no, wait. It's Tante. It's Tante.
Tainte.
A senator named Senator Balls does something, and then the the headline is Balls Slammed.
Balls slammed in the courts. Yeah.
Tate dragged through the mud.
So a cabinet minister told the BBC's Sunday morning show, quote, "I think we've got to distinguish between some bad apples, people who behave badly, and the general environment. There are some bad apples. There are people who have acted very badly, and they should be held to account." And then the article continues, "Last week, the Sunday Times revealed 3 cabinet ministers and 2 shadow cabinet ministers were among 56 MPs subject to sexual misconduct allegations." I looked up how many MPs there are in the parliament, in the National Assembly. There are only 123. So these these few bad apples are almost half of the members of a British Parliament.
That rules. What a normal, regular island. What a cool and not at all fucked up inbred place.
And these are just the ones who got, I mean, like, this guy got caught because he was just like watching it on his phone while people were around and saw over his shoulder.
Not
so
a crime.
It's like, Are we really going to say the other half of them are like not doing it, or are they just doing it slightly more sneakily and like not being accused yet?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like the bar is so low that in order to like really get caught and end up in the national media for this kind of stuff, you have to be like, oh, golly me, I can't believe I was looking at ball smashing porn in the parliamentary hall again. Well, I guess that's the end of my career. Cheerio. You know, like, I guess if you're less overt and like stupid than that, you can just get away with it, which is probably, you know, like you were alluding to, Todd, just the result of like this being a country that has had to install permissions for like inbred fops to just do whatever the fuck they want.
I love it. It's such a cool place.
Very strange country.
When speaking of cool places and strange countries, I wanted to do my weekly Fort Bragg roundup real quick. So I don't know if I got a chance to mention it on the bonus episode, but there was a soldier at Fort Bragg that was killed in a vehicular accident over the course of the last week. He died on Thursday, April 28th, 2022, and he was
identified
recently.
Was he operating a pedal pub at the time?
The army is calling it a Humvee, but I have to imagine that that's just cover for like, yeah, it's a bar cart with a gun on it.
Injured and died as the military vehicle he was in conducted routine training.
Yeah, so they were conducting routine training, and then he died, and 3 other guys were injured. So I think they were all in the Humvee together. And then there's a really sad line in this article from the Fayetteville Observer that says he is survived by his wife and parents, which is like,
that was a bad one.
If I fucking died right now, that's what they'd have to print about me. Like, he survived by his wife and parents. He survived by a couple of cats.
He's survived by several unfinished projects.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is necessarily like foul play or whatever. It's totally believable to me that like the way the army trains with Humvees could lead to fatalities.
Absolutely.
I don't need to put on tinfoil hat for this segment, but the segment I'd like to put on a tinfoil hat for is Pelosi giving special thanks to Fort Bragg soldiers in Poland.
Oh, they got a Fort Bragg in Poland too? That's interesting. Yeah. They got another base there.
But it's pronounced Fort Bragg, and it's got 9 Z's, 2 C's, and a J in it.
Oh yeah, did you see that Pelosi was just like out in the open, like hanging out with Zelensky, supposedly in Ukraine? Like, really? How is that happening? Like the most high ranking legislative official in U.S. government just going to an active war zone, no body armor, just hanging out in the open.
I think the short answer to that is that like Zelensky is in Poland. Like, I've seen a lot of people floating that theory, and I'm, you know, with no real evidence, just going off my gut, I think it's 100% true.
That makes sense.
Why would he ever be pretending to do something that's not real on camera? He only had a long career as an actor before this. He had no experience in such things.
You're telling me that a U.S.-supported leader of a country would just do that? Just go online and tell lies? So yeah, Pelosi following the visit where she stopped in Rzeszczo, Poland. I'm never going to pronounce this.
I can't even pronounce that.
With a delegation of House lawmakers, she shared some photos on Twitter of herself and the delegation visiting with Fort Bragg soldiers stationed in Poland. And in a tweet, she said, "On behalf of Congress and the country, we conveyed our pride and appreciation for their patriotic service to our nation. As the Russian invasion of Ukraine rages on, our delegation continues our meetings with U.S. senior officials to be further briefed on the humanitarian tragedy caused by Putin. Throughout our meetings, we have discussed the importance of the U.S.-Polish partnership and the centrality of the NATO alliance in working to meet the urgent needs of Ukraine and to counter Russia's unlawful aggression," which is like, it's so crazy to me that in one paragraph she can say like the humanitarian tragedy caused by Putin and then refocus like, "I'm here to talk to these nice Polish boys about how great we all think NATO is," and to not draw any kind of fucking connection between those two things.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, also, I mean, maybe I'm not catching it in this very long article here, but sarcasm, it's very short. What is their service that they're patriotically doing in Poland? We're not, the U.S. is not at war with Russia or Ukraine currently, or Poland. So like, in this picture, they're just all sitting around at what looks like an airport or something. So
yeah, they're just going to check and make sure that all of the money that they're sending there, instead of spending it on like the rampant poverty, food shortages, like education, fixing the fucking roads and every infrastructure, crumbling bridges in every major city. They're just checking to make sure the money that they spent on Ukraine instead of us is being well spent on like a gold palace for Vladimir Zelensky.
Yeah, well, and it's also like it's just a bunch of PR too. She's kind of doing the Hillary Clinton thing a little bit, where she's like, "I'm here with our boys in Poland, and the generals at Fort Bragg tell me they can eat more halushki than any other men in the world. Keep doing your thing, boys. Keep securing our freedoms in Poland."
Very cool.
Which is very, very strange. I know Poland is very, very central to what NATO has been up to recently, especially because like Germany has been a little bit more reserved in being willing to help us. I think they're mad that they're not getting their Russian gas through the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and there's this whole like German hemming and hawing that the government seems to be doing over that. But we have an unlikely voice joining us in our chorus of voices saying that NATO caused this crisis, and that would be the Pope.
Interesting.
The last guy I expected, Pope Francis, came up and said that the barking of NATO at the door of Russia might have led to the invasion of Ukraine, and that he didn't know whether other countries should supply Ukraine with more arms, which I imagine is he's been feeling the pressure from those Italian trade unionists who discovered that the packages that they were loading, I think at the airport, were illegally contained, quote unquote, lethal aid that was being sent to Ukraine. And I imagine that this has been a much bigger story in Italy and probably also in the Vatican than it has been in the United States, where we just assume like, yeah, those boxes marked food have guns and bullets in them. What else would be in there?
I feel like the Pope, like some of his sort of stances on stuff, it reminds me a little bit of like what it would have been like if Bernie Sanders had ended up being president, where you have someone who like becomes the leader of a very corrupt and sort of backwards and violent organization who says a lot of stuff that like for the organization is very radical and very, you know, against the grain, but ultimately they're still going to like overall reinforce the status quo of that organization and not actually wanting to like really fundamentally change it. Just kind of like poke at some certain things that have not changed in a long time.
Right. That's definitely the attitude Francis seems to be taking. And like, you know, he's no radical. If I'm not mistaken, he's implicated in helping rat out more radical Jesuits and what are they called? Revolutionary theologians or whatever, the adherents of revolutionary theology in South America.
Interesting.
But, so he's kind of a shady, spooky, glowing past. But he does like come out and say like boilerplate good stuff every once in a while.
Every so often.
I think people should have rights. And the Catholic Church is like, this is scandalous. And everybody else is like, wow, based Pope. None of that is like true. Yeah. Like
maybe being gay is fine. I don't know. Ask God. He didn't really tell me if you can be gay or not. So whatever.
Exactly. So he also said... he criticized the leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, big surprise, Patriarch Kirill of Moscow, and he said that he, quote, cannot turn himself into Putin's altar boy, which is apparently some response to the fact that Patriarch Kirill, leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, said recently that Russia has never attacked another country, which is like, look, that's just not true. So I hate to be like, man, the Pope really gotcha. But I feel like the Pope did really gotcha. And that hurts me to say, because I feel like if I was going to pick a Christian faith, it would have to be one of the Orthodox ones, because they're more open to like mysticism and just weird fringe shit in general than the Catholics.
Well, they're always going at it anyway.
Yeah, they are. They're like dogs fighting over a bone.
Yeah.
I do got to say, Patriarch Curl looks awesome. He looks like some kind of like Catholic Santa Claus. Like he's got a white beard, and every picture of him, he's wearing a pretty ornate crown and like matching robes, and
they have so much swag.
It's a good drip. Yeah,
the Orthodox Church, I feel like, held on to a lot more of the swag that was inherited from like Middle Eastern and like Indian golden ages and all of the kind of like culture that emerged from those regions, whereas like Catholicism took one look at like austere Teutonic German and Italian design, and they were like, this is it, this is the way we do things forever now. Which sucks, and I think was a huge step in the wrong direction.
No, the aesthetic difference is there, like the, I guess it's just how far east you go, but they do things a lot better in Russia aesthetically.
Yeah, and I mean, like, just in the Orthodox churches in general, I think the Greek Orthodox have quite a bit of swag as well. I'm looking up Greek Orthodox style. Oh, it's all churches. I want to see the people. Show me the guy leading the congregation having some swag.
Yeah. Greek Orthodox patriarch looks like he mostly wears all black. I don't know. Sometimes he has like the crown and the staff and like the little, like, are they always using like bells or something? I've seen multiple pictures of the other patriarch where he's like swinging like bells on a chain.
The it seems like the other patriarchs besides the Russian one all are a little bit more subdued. They have kind of a more rabbinical kind of style to them, which is kind of nice. I can dig that. I like a black hat. Nothing wrong with a black hat. Got to give it up for the Amish on that one, too. The black hat's it's a strong choice.
Black hat and black cloak. It's like, it's very powerful. It sends a message that you're all about your business.
Are you an evil wizard or just an Anabaptist? Like,
are you going off to put a curse on my family or just to make like a really nice table and chairs? Yeah. You never know.
Well, I mean, this stuff is also interesting because it's not the kind of thing that we see frequently in the United States. But before we close out the episode today, I wanted to talk about something uniquely American.
Hell yes.
Which is that police in Ontario, Ontario Provincial Police, are trying to figure out who sent a shopping bag full of handguns across the Canada-US border via drone.
Oh, wow. Fucking God. They found my guns? I was looking for those.
It looks like plastic bags, like Target or like TJ Maxx bags, filled up with guns, attached with a chain, not even a real chain, a chain made of carabiners.
Oh, yeah. I noticed one carabiner, but it's carabiners all the way down. They have one orange one and then a bunch of silver ones.
Wow.
They couldn't spring for a chain with all these guns. Is probably like $10.
$10 chain, and they're like, no, that's too expensive. Let's just use all these carabiners I have lying around to transport thousands of dollars worth of firearms across the border.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you guys. I think this is an op. Because basically whenever there's like a big news story about guns, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually an op. It's usually, you know, a liberal regime trying to manufacture reasons to implement more gun control measures, right?
In recent years, drones have
also been cracking down on drones in the United States and Canada, right? Because like drones represent a certain degree of freedom. You see it in war zones these days, right? Like,
they don't want like you taking photos of the Bass Pro Shops pyramid or the Denver airport.
That's right. That's right. But, so this to me screams op to justify, further restriction of both, drones and guns.
It kind of has the same energy. I'm inclined to be somewhat sympathetic to that take because it kind of has the same energy as those news articles you would see in the like early 2000s where it was like, police intercept 10-pound brick of heroin Mexicans tried to catapult across the border. And it's like,
they should
have
used a trebuchet.
Yeah, or a trebuchet or whatever.
Picked a better siege engine.
Did they do that, or did they just like take a 10-pound brick of heroin out of evidence and be like, look what the Mexicans tried to get in?
Yeah, they were goofing around on a dare to see if they could launch heroin with a catapult, and they were like, oh my God, we just found this, and some Mexicans were running away, I think. Better write this one up.
But now it's funny because it's not even something trying to get into the United States. It's something going from the United States to Canada. Like, that's the outrage now. It's like America's gun craziness is making its way over the border. Ontario citizens suddenly addicted to guns or whatever, you know, like this is very insane. Meanwhile, like this was only found in the first place. Like the police didn't intercept this drone. Let me be clear. They didn't like shoot it out of the sky. They didn't see it and like hunt it down. It got caught in a tree and then they just simply recovered it after it was caught in a tree.
Oh, speaking of getting caught in a tree, I saw something that I found very funny the other day, which was one of those, not a bird scooter, but you know what, generic one of those, you know, scooter rentals.
Yeah,
somebody
sure,
had
yeah.
just thrown it into a fucking tree.
That's awesome.
Yeah, try to ride this now.
I'm done with this. It's going in the fucking tree.
Yeah.
There was when I was looking for jobs, there were a bunch of job postings around here that were like bird scooter like recovery. So like you drive around in a van and put bird scooters in the back of the van and charge them and put them back in their stations. And I always thought to myself, like, how many times do you show up where the GPS says a bird scooter is and it's just like in the river, in a tree, deep in a pothole, like, you know, someone threw it onto the, like the tram's tracks or something, like the disrespect, like people used to joke about how much disrespect you show a rental car. Imagine how much disrespect you show like a gig rental scooter.
Yeah.
Some of those companies, the whole idea is that you like, don't have to put it back anywhere. It's like the marketing, right? Like just ride it. And then like, once you're done, drop it on the sidewalk and then someone else will handle it.
I think we may have talked about this on a previous episode, but I think that some of those scooter services rely on gig workers to drive around in vans, finding the scooters using their GPS locator, and then those gig workers will get paid a bounty for how many scooters they bring home, charge, and then put somewhere once they're fully charged.
Yep, it's piecework, basically.
Yeah.
And pretty soon there will be a bird company town where they will pay you in scooter coin. And you can take it on down to the bird store, which is unfortunately not for Twitter add-ons.
Oh, man. Yeah, just a little enclave that pops up around whatever super gentrified expensive city has the bird scooters.
So
and then,
cool. Yeah.
No cars allowed there, just bird scooters.
See, our bird company town is actually really interesting because it's located inside of the Marvel company town. So you got kind of a dual dynamic working here.
Mm-hmm. I saw a guy dressed as Captain America riding around on a bird scooter the other day. Thought maybe it was Chris Evans, but no, it wasn't Chris Evans.
Here at Bird, we recover the scooters that make Marvel movies possible. Oh, man. Well, speaking of making things possible, I'm going to pick my ass up off the couch now. I've been sitting in front of this fucking laptop screen since I got home. Thank you all so much for listening. Support us on Patreon if you don't already. It's the best way to get twice as many shows per month.
Please
get in the Discord.
Leaving your bird scooters on my lawn.
That's right.
I will start. I will be posted up there with a shotgun.
Look, he's going to burn them soon if they keep showing up, and it's going to be bad for everyone.
I've thought about it. I thought, like, you know, you probably wouldn't get caught if you just douse one in gasoline and lit it on fire.
See, look,
in
if you have a
parody satire crime. Sense.
If you have a bird scooter you're not using anymore, simply attach it to a drone and send it into Canada.
I think they
America's waste bin.
Didn't they dredge like the canals of like Amsterdam and find like hundreds of those like rental scooters and bikes or something like that?
I didn't
probably
see that. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, chuck them into a tree. In fact, leave our show a 5-star review by etching it into the side of a bird scooter.
Nice. That's such a good idea.
Yeah, check out my other show, Work Stoppage, which is about labor. Check out Chris on the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/bpbledispod. Mm-hmm. And keep fucking beeping out there. Smoke a joint on a bird scooter.
Goodbye. Smoke weed.
How are you? It's Anita Baymar, Connor Thompson's assistant. I'm going through the messages and just getting back with you to let you know that Connor did get the CDs. I've listened to them and I'm excited, and Connor has listened to them. And he's interested, so we'll give you a call back in a couple days. Yeah, so great stuff. We'll talk soon. Thanks, bye.
Broke the heart of the American dream.